Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Each episode is a conversation with inspiring people who make wonderful contributions to our knowledge in these areas and spark curiosity and ideas to pursue. Join me, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
Truly believe that people buy people. They don't buy your product or service, they buy you as a person. And once they get to know you, like you trust you, then they're going to do business with you. It is what makes one financial planner down the street from another financial planner stand apart from each other. You both have the exact same, you know, thing to sell, widget, if you will. I don't care if you're cleaning teeth or if you're a financial planner. You're doing the same thing as the guy down the street. But what makes you different is that human connection. Do people know, like, and trust you?
Hi there, innovator. It's really great to be back with another episode. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I trust too that you enjoyed my recent conversations with Mark Robinson from the International Academy of Wealth and with Zach McGill of Perk Health. Now, I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest today, Lindsay Dix, who is CEO of Celebrity Sites, an online marketing company that specializes in social media and online personal branding. Lindsay's philosophy is that people buy people. Her goal is to help her clients build a relationship with their prospects and their customers. Once that relationship is built and they learn to trust them as the expert in their field, then they will do business with them. Lindsay has built a proprietary process that utilizes social media marketing, content marketing, and search engine optimization to create online buzz for her clients that help them to convey their business and personal stories and to build those relationships. A quick promotional message from our sponsor, that's InnovaBiz, where we help coaches and consultants build professional credibility, engage their target audience, and connect with their ideal client. That requires absolute clarity about who your ideal clients are and how you can help them. To help you get that clarity about your ideal client, take a look at our Marketing Master Mini Class, where in less than 30 minutes, you'll gain absolute clarity on your ideal client and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship. Access the Marketing Master Mini Class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It's completely free and accessible without even giving away your email. In our discussion today, Lindsay talked to me about using social media to build human connection and relationships. We discussed why it's important to regularly create and publish content that your audience want. And she described her process for turning one blog article into 14 pieces of evergreen content. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Lindsay Dix. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from Winter Park in Florida in the USA, Lindsay Dix, who's the CEO of Celebrity Sites, which is an online marketing company specializing in social media and online personal branding. Welcome to the podcast, Lindsay. It's a great privilege to have you as my guest.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Nick Nanton, who was our guest on episode 234 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, suggested that we have a conversation with you, Lindsay. So big hello to Nick.
Yeah, absolutely. Nick's been one of my business partners for over half my life. I've known him since I was 15. So I appreciate him referring me over to you so that I can be here today.
Excellent. Well, Lindsay, you help your clients get noticed and tell their stories in the online world in a way that connects them in a human-to-human way, but also in a way that gets them business and, translates into more visibility, that does translate into business. So I'm really looking forward to exploring that some more with you today. But you mentioned knowing Nick since you were 15. Before we start talking about all things online marketing and relationship building, tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, so I went to school at the University of Florida. It's over here in Florida. And I studied marketing there. I really loved what I found about taking a business from point A and getting it to point B through marketing. That was just an early education. But once I got out of school, it was kind of like, okay, well, I know I love this stuff. I get really excited over this stuff, but now what? What business do I start? And I had always known that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. My father was an entrepreneur. He's also one of our business partners. And I knew that I wanted to have a business. I knew I wanted to help people, but I didn't really know where to go from that. And so Nick was kind of getting out of law school at that point in time. And I kind of fell into web because he needed a website and some search engine optimization for his law practice at that time. Later, he realized he didn't really want to practice law, as I'm sure he told you. But this was way back when, early on, this is how he was going to start out doing things. And it was kind of like, well, Lindsay went to school for marketing. She's young. She's got to know the internet, right? And so I started doing web for him, and started doing social media for him and search engine optimization. I was on Facebook the first 2 months that it was active because Facebook came to the University of Florida way back when. You had to have an EDU email address to be on the Facebook at that point in time. And the University of Florida was one of the first 13 colleges that Facebook came to. So I literally have been on it since the very beginning. I missed about 2 months of it, but other than that, I've been on it since the beginning. So Lindsay was young. She knew Facebook. She knew web. I fell into a wonderful mentor. His name is David Bullock. He ran both of the social media campaigns for presidency for Barack Obama. So he's who I studied for social media and search engine optimization. And I kind of took everything that I knew and applied it for Nick. And I saw success, even though that's not the way he chose to go later on in life. I saw the success he had online for that business, and kind of slowly people started saying, can you help me? Can you help me? And at first I was like, no, because I never thought of myself as being a tech person or even getting into that business, even though I had a huge interest in it. It just kind of one of those things that the things that are closest to you, sometimes you don't see. And then after a while, as people started saying, will you do this for me? I was like, oh, well, okay. That's the business, obviously that people need help with because they're asking me to do it. And so I kind of started just picking up clients here and there, an Inc. 5000 company. I picked them up pretty early on. And then it just grew. And I kind of started walking through more and more doors and realizing that there was really a need there that I could help people. And that was my calling to do so.
Hmm. So when people asked you for help with search engine optimization or social media, were they specifically looking for how they could do it as a business tool and bringing that in as a marketing tool? Or whether was it more a case of, because what I've found in the past, it's been more a case of everybody else is doing websites, everybody else is doing social media, I should be doing this, but without an understanding of that it's actually a tool to get your business and there's a process to go through rather than just jump in and start activities.
Yeah, for sure. I would say absolutely in the beginning, people didn't know why they needed to be on the internet or didn't know why they needed to be on social media. They just figured that they needed to be because everybody else was jumping on board. So yeah, absolutely that bandwagon effect. Nowadays, people are kind of starting to grasp it a little bit, slowly understand, but there's still a huge misconception out there with social media and how you can get business online and what it is and what it isn't for business. And that's one of the things that I always educate my clients on how best to use social media and to keep what you think the business you're going to get, keep that in perspective, because there's so many people out there with shiny object syndrome saying, you can do this in social media. And that's not always totally, totally accurate. I think that people, when they hear search engine optimization, they don't know what it is, but they do know you can get more business to do it. And they just kind of say, I want that. Social media, they know a little bit more what it is, but they don't know how it works and how you can get business from it.
Hmm. All right. So give us a bit of a snapshot then of what you do today and why you do it.
it really comes down to helping the most people. Our mission statement is to help the most people help the most people. And so all of my clients tend to be chiropractors, dentists, financial planners, attorneys, doctors. We have a couple spas. We do have some speakers and coaches. But if I believe that if I can help a dentist grow his practice, then he's able to help more people that I could never touch. So for me, it's not just about building, you know, clients one-to-one, but it's helping their clients that I don't even actually ever get to see. And growing kind of the mission and helping people that way.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that's one of the ways I express mine as well, is that by helping my clients, I get to help a lot more people and make a difference to a lot more people indirectly, because they're getting out in front of more of their ideal clients. So
yeah, absolutely.
Now, you do talk about the human connection, and this is one thing that I'm very passionate about, and you've touched on how to use social media for business. What's your take on the whole idea of where people are using technology these days to generate business and to do things online and to start to automate things and losing the human connection somewhere?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're accurate. Social media does allow people to take a step back from that human connection. Having web forms online, we see more and more now people are wanting to fill out those forms or wanting to text to get in touch with somebody online. They don't want to pick up the phone and call. So we are losing that human interaction a little bit. However, I don't think you're ever going to get away from it fully, because I truly believe that people buy people. They don't buy your product or service. They buy you as a person. And once they get to know you, buy you, trust you, then they're going to do business with you. It is what makes one financial planner down the street from another financial planner stand apart from each other. You both have the exact same, you know, thing to sell, widget, if you will. I don't care if you're cleaning teeth or if you're a financial planner, you're doing the same thing as the guy down the street. But what makes you different is that human connection. Do people know, like, and trust you? And so online, that is the social media piece. People think that a financial planner is going to go out there and they're going to post a tweet on Twitter and they're going to get an immediate ROI back. Somebody's going to call them up and want to immediately do business with them. And that is misconception number one on social media. Social media is third-party credibility of who you are and what you do. It allows Google that when somebody Googles you, and if you think that they're not Googling you, they are, I assure you. Step one is to find their problem. Step two is, once they find their problem, to figure out if that person's legitimate or not. So when they're Googling you, Google's always going to return 10 search results online for whatever they deem to be accurate for what you're searching for. And so if you're not dominating those 10 search results, at least, and I would say go on to page two and page three, then you're allowing either somebody with your name to appear in the search engines. Maybe it's something that is old and you don't want people to see. But if you're not dominating the search results with what you want people to see, your digital DNA, then you're doing yourself a huge disservice. Because if you can dominate at least the first page, and as I said, if you can get to page two and page three, that just opens up your funnel for more ways that people can come in and get to know you. And so what social media does is social media takes up that digital DNA. So if you're to Google me, for example, my Facebook profile is going to come up, my Twitter profile is going to come up, of course my website's going to come up, but LinkedIn and YouTube and pictures and press releases and blogs and articles and all of this stuff that I've done that creates that personality online, so that when somebody goes there and they're like, oh wow, look at Lindsay, look everything she's done. Well, obviously she's credible. And here I could read about the stuff that she's done. And here I can see pictures of her. And here I can get to know her. It is that third party credibility of who you are and what you do. And then they're going to go back to your social media, and they're going to follow you and start to engage with you and start to like your articles and the stuff that you're pushing out there. And then when they're ready to do business, oh, wait, let me go see Lindsay, because she's my friend in web and she knows what she's talking about. I've been following her for 6 months and it's time for me to get in touch with her. It is a slower progression of the know, like, and trust and that third party credibility online that ultimately helps you build your business through social media and search engine optimization. It's not, let me post a tweet and I'm going to get this immediate ROI back. That's not going to happen. The only way you may get that is through doing some sort of advertisement PPC where, you know, you're selling maybe a free book or something like that, or, you know, or a book and somebody purchases it, but a smaller ticket item. But for those people that are selling those products and services, those larger ticket items, it's not an immediate ROI. That is the social engagement. After all, it's all about social media. So it's getting to know, like, and trust online. And that's how people are doing it.
Yeah, there's so much great information there that you've shared, and I like how you finished that up. It's social media. It's actually social for a reason.
It's supposed to be. It's not totally supposed to be automated, even though some of it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the things that occurs to me there is that consistency of putting out information is really key in that whole picture you've painted for us there, because if you have a really good profile on, let's say, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and perhaps Instagram, so there's four posts on page one that you might get to if you have a really good profile. But I'm guessing that it's really important to continue to put out information on all of those platforms, as well as on your website, on your blog, in a consistent way.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I learned when I first got into doing search engine optimization, which was almost 15 years ago, is that content is king on the internet. And you may have heard many, many times about Google changing their algorithm and Google doing some change. And I got blacklisted and I got sandboxed and my website, you know, whatever, went off Google or whatever. The one thing that is consistent through my entire time of doing this is content is king. That will never change. Because at the end of the day, I say Google and I mean the other search engines as well, but at the end of the day, all Google is trying to do is match their best information with what the user is looking for. Because if they don't do that, then they have no business being there. So it behooves them to match the content. So you want to be current, relevant on your website, in your social media, and everything that you're doing. Because if you haven't posted something in 6 months, if you haven't posted anything in a couple of weeks, then you're outdated. And that is what Google's going to see. And that's also what your clients are going to see. If they come to your website or they go to your social media profiles and they see that you haven't posted anything in 6 months, well, this is outdated. Are you behind the times? Like, do you know what's going on in this year? So it says something about you and your business that you're not even trying to say. The other thing that you touched on is, you know, I think you were going briefly on how it can be difficult to post all this content, you know, to come up with these new ideas. And that's one of the things that I teach my clients and that we do for people. Is that, think about it this way. If you take one idea, so if we say 5 tips to increasing Facebook, okay? So if you write a blog on 5 tips to increasing Facebook likes, I take that, I post that one blog on my website. I'll also use what we call third-party content sites like Tumblr, Reddit, StumbleUpon, Dig, some of these social bookmarking sites. If we take those and we push that out there, we take that link and push that out through social media. Okay, so you now might have a tweet out there, a Facebook post, a LinkedIn post. If you take that one blog and now add a couple more tips on the back end of it, so you've got 10 tips to increasing your Facebook likes. You didn't reinvent the blog, but you changed it enough for search engine optimization purposes, but you don't have to come up with a whole new idea or anything like that. So you now have two pieces of content to push out there. But if you take both of those and you take a quote from each one and create a quote card from each one, well, now you've created a pictorial thing that you can put on Instagram or Pinterest if you're doing Pinterest from one idea. You can now have a blog, an article, and two quote cards. If you then use a strategy that we do for press releases, because press releases online are very different than offline. Offline, you have to have something newsworthy, something really big to get picked up, because that's what people are looking for in your local newspaper and stuff like that. Online, press releases are about keywords. That's all it comes back to. So if you create a press release centered around the fact that you just wrote a blog and an article, you now have got two additional pieces of content that you have. You've got a blog, an article, two quote cards, and two press releases. If you take that original blog and article and do what we're doing right now and create a video, you can put slides to it, stuff like that. You now got two videos as well. That's now 8 pieces of content. If you write two more press releases on the fact that you just published those videos, you've got 10 pieces of content still from that one idea. If you take that video and strip the audio from it and create a podcast, like we're doing, you're now going to have 12 pieces of content. If you write press releases on those, you now have 14 pieces of content from one idea. If you can make that evergreen and set it up to auto repeat every couple of weeks, pretty soon you're going to have an evergreen library of content for all of your social media sites. So then it's about creating one new piece of content idea and then create all this kind of peripheral stuff around it, chop it up, break it up, see how many ways you can get it to other platforms. And pretty soon you've kind of got the snowball effect of content and how you can very quickly ramp up to be able to stay current and relevant.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I think you've just outlined your whole process for creating some buzz online, and it's actually not difficult to come up with one idea. And even if you do one idea a week, you're going to be very busy producing all that content for that week. So you could probably get away with one idea every fortnight. Or what I like to do is kind of theme months. And as soon as you start to set theme months, you've got 12 themes for the year, and very quickly you build up. I mean, if you can get four ideas for a theme, that's not difficult at all.
Yeah.
And then you've got a weekly blog post. And how many did you say, 12 or 14?
Well, 14 from one idea, but you can chop it up many more ways than
right.
that. But yeah, no,
yeah,
I totally agree.
There's other ideas as well as that. But the key thing is repurpose the content and produce it in many different forms.
And I think that's where people get stuck, is they think that they have to, you know, I have to have a separate piece for Twitter and a separate piece for Facebook and then a separate piece for Instagram because it's images. And that's not really true. You have to think of the one idea and have the process around it to be able to chop it up and split it up into the multiple different ways and multiple different formats for each one of these platforms.
Yeah. All right. Well, tell us a little bit about your idea of best practices on social media then, because you've told us kind of a very high level of the whole process of promoting content and well, stepping back one, I think, you know, what you described is SEO in my language, because a lot of people, and you talked about the Google blacklisting people. And I in the early days when there was a lot of hype around Google had changed the algorithms and my rankings have slipped from page one to I can't even find myself and I've been blacklisted and all this, I used to react to those very quickly and think, oh my God, what's happened to my stuff and what's happened to my client's stuff? And I've never noticed any impact, or, you know, it was just been the normal, logical, organic up and down stuff that was happening anyway. And I thought, well, I wonder why that is. But it's basically because we were doing the content.
Because you were doing things correctly.
Yeah, that's right.
We weren't trying to do fancy
exactly. Black hat things.
Exactly.
So, you know, I think that's important that SEO is always about providing content. And I like to remind people that Google's business model is earning money through advertising, and in order to show their advertisements to people, they've got to get people to use the search engine, and people will only use the search engine if they're getting the results for what they're searching for. So Google want to show the best result to people, so if you're the best result, they want you to rank number one.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, talk to us a little bit about social media best practices, because you touched a little bit before on, you know, people post a tweet and think that's going to straight away lead to business. Obviously, that's a bit fanciful.
Wouldn't that be great, though, if it worked like that?
It would. Yeah. Like a switch. I need a new client, so I'll post one tweet.
Exactly. You know, I say it's a lot like a cocktail party or networking event. Would you walk in and start screaming your name and screaming what business you did as soon as you went into a cocktail party? No, well, don't do that online. That's going to be annoying. Nobody wants you to be like, hey, this is me. I sell this. I sell this. I sell this. Yeah. As they're scrolling down their newsfeed. Social media, as social it is, and yes, you're putting yourself out there, it's not all about you. It's about them and what your clients want to see. We tell people that you want to be the thought leader in your industry. So if somebody's coming to your Facebook profile or Twitter or LinkedIn, it doesn't matter what profile it is, and it's all your content, that's not good. It's actually good to watch the other people in your industry that are doing unique things, that are getting out there and doing things, that are writing articles of good information, and you share that on your platform and say, hey, I just came across this article by Bob Smith about X, Y, and Z. Here's why I think it's great. And so you're now putting your two cents onto the article they wrote. Wow. And so if you can build yourself as kind of that curator of content in your industry, that thought leader status, well, that's going to carry a little bit more weight than you just pushing your information down their throat the whole time. Dan Janal of PR Leads gave me a wonderful testimonial years and years ago about calling me his number one content curator, because that's what I was doing, is I was curating all this content from other people and then putting in an email and sending it out. And so people were looking to me and looking at me as the thought leader in my industry only because I was putting together this content. And so why did they have to go to all these other places? Well, they didn't. They could just listen to me. And you want to create that status online. And so social media is kind of a third about putting your stuff out there, a third personal, and a third of other people's stuff. And so if you can kind of, you know, chop up your calendar, editorial calendar, into those three sections, then you'll be covering all of your bases.
Yeah, yeah, that's great advice. And I find that, you know, people will pay more attention if you're sharing information from others as well, particularly if it's like even competitors.
Absolutely.
Yeah. People have this mentality, oh, we can't give more visibility to competitors. But my philosophy is exactly what you said earlier about it's not about you, it's about them. So what's going to help my audience? And if a competitor has put out this fantastic article, well, then that's going to help the audience. So share it.
I also 100% believe in the abundance mentality, that there's plenty of business out there for everybody. And so yeah. if I'm helping my competitor by pushing an article out there, in some ways people look at that. Well, some people definitely think you're crazy, but the other people will look at you and say, huh, if she's that confident to be able to put out her competitor's information, then she probably knows her stuff. Because if I was afraid of, you know, what people would think by doing that, then I would never put it out there to begin with. But for me, it's all about sharing what you know, sharing the information that you come across, and being able to be that curator of content for your particular herd, your clients.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. All right, now, talk to us a little bit about the importance of telling stories in all this content. So you've mentioned kind of coming up with one idea and writing a blog post, but one of the things you talk about is getting people's stories told. So how do you embed storytelling in this whole strategy?
Stories are always going to be so important. That's why we all still love and go to the movies, is because it is a story that is weaved throughout our brain. And Nick talks about the neurological synapses that happen when you watch and listen to a story, he knows that way better than I do, but you are immediately engaged more with a storyteller than you are with somebody shouting out information. It also humanizes whomever you're dealing with. If you can weave their story into what they're doing, there are all these touch points that somebody can say, oh yeah, I've got a dog too. So if you're writing a newsletter and you put a picture of you and your dog in there, somebody's like, oh yeah, I've got a dog. Oh yeah, I've got children. Oh yeah, I just went on vacation to X, Y, and Z. And so each time somebody is, it's kind of a closing tactic, those little yeses that you get before the big sale, your presence online, your presence in your emails, everything that you're doing are kind of those little yeses all the way until you get to the point where they say, oh yes, I need my services and X, Y, and Z is exactly where I've got to go because, you know, she's got a dog like me, she's got kids like me, she's been on vacation like me. You know, every time you tell your story, it allows you to connect with at least one other person. And if you can make that connection, then it goes back to the know, like, and trust philosophy of that's why people do business with you.
That's right. It comes back to the idea of social media, doesn't it? Because you mentioned a couple of things there where people say, yes, we've got this in common. So it's a possible topic to talk about. And earlier you talked about going into a cocktail party and basically the way you do that is you strike up conversations with people and you discover things you have in common. And that's where the conversation often then leads to, because it's something that you can talk about and it's an experience that you can share.
And it's just that, it's a conversation. It's not just a one-way talking. It becomes a conversation as you reach those affinity points with people and learn more about them from both sides.
Which raises the question on social media, how important is it to actually take time there to engage and have those conversations? Because you mentioned about posting articles, posting your own blog posts, posting sort of bits and pieces from that, from the 14 different pieces of content that you described, and also posting other people's content and putting your spin on that? How important is it to follow up that with conversations?
Well, for two reasons, it's super important. One, that's Facebook's algorithm. The more you are engaging with your audience, the more your content is going to be showed. So from a simplicity standpoint of an algorithm, it's super important. But from a humanizing piece, it's all about the conversation. Again, it goes back to just having a conversation with people. And, it used to be in person. Then it was on phone, and now it's more like text and social media, but it's still a conversation. And so if people are commenting, if people are liking, it's important to go and know that you're on the other side of things, that you really are a human, and, that you're going to answer that comment and, possibly go and look at their profile. If it's another business, comment or like on something that they're doing. If it's a person that you'd like to become friends with, go become friends with them so that they can get to know you on a more human level. I think people are afraid to do that. I think that people can hide behind social media at times and just kind of create this front. And it may work to an extent, but it's not going to work how it should if you're not allowing yourself to be seen. Social media is about being transparent. And showing yourself so that people get to know, like, and trust you.
And we've seen a really powerful demonstration of the impact having that sort of profile on social media just recently. As we're recording this, we've got this terrible bushfire disaster in Australia, and the Australian comedian Celeste Barber, who has a huge social media following, has raised, I'm not sure what the current number is, it was up to about $8 or so million for charity by calling out to her followers to donate to the various charities. I think she set up a fundraising page on Facebook.
So on the one hand, it's obviously terrible that we have something like that, that we have to raise or would like to raise the money for these various causes. But on the other hand, isn't it wonderful that you can use a platform like social media to not only raise a ton of money, but raise a ton of money very quickly a cause like that? I mean, you can be scrolling your social media feed and you can find people that have GoFundMe pages for various causes. We've got a client right now that deals a lot with overdoses and addiction, and he's got huge nonprofit GoFundMe pages and will raise money through Facebook just directly to that. And so again, social media comes back to that humanizing piece that, with their following and putting something out there to your followers to be able to support and donate to.
That it's very powerful. It can be very powerful. And if you then think about how that might work in a business sense, you can imagine, the power of having that level of trust and engagement with your audience. And if you then ask for something, it's going to resonate much more than if you're just posting stuff about yourself all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Now, one of the things I've noticed about Facebook recently is it's getting really noisy, and a lot of the things that I'm seeing on my feed now are really not of interest to me. I don't know whether that's my fault. Maybe I've done something wrong, but it's kind of a case of I get about 5 minutes into looking at stuff on Facebook after I've done posting my own things, and I think this is just a waste of time, and I go out of Facebook and go on to something else again. So how do you suggest people work the social media to stand out from that noise?
Yeah, remember, this goes back to creating that digital DNA online. You have to understand the philosophy that there are two ways that people search for something online. There's one, what's called a referral search. So when somebody, or I'm sorry, the first is a keyword search. When somebody has a problem that they want to find a solution for, so they need financial planner Orlando and they don't know who they're looking for, but they need a financial planner and they, you hope that your website ranks number one. That's the traditional side of search engine optimization that everybody talks about. The second side is what's called the referral search. So it's where they're looking for a specific person and they want to find more about that particular person. Maybe they heard a radio show, or they saw an advertisement on TV, or they got a mailer, or somebody said, go check this person out, I use them, they're great. Or they saw them on a billboard. It doesn't matter how they got the person's name, but somehow you've piqued their interest that you might be somebody that they would like to do business with. And so they're going to go and check you out. And even if you're not the first search, even if they go and find that keyword search where they're looking for a financial planner, the second search is always going to be, okay, let me go and find out if that person's legitimate or not. So one way or the other, they're going to get to that referral search. And so your digital DNA, what Google says about you, is super important. That's where Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and YouTube and photos and blogs and press releases and videos and all that stuff we talked about, that content, becomes very important, because now there is no noise. Somebody looked for you specifically, or somebody looked for a business, your business, and then got to you specifically, but now they've come across you. And that link takes them directly to your Facebook. There is no noise. And so now your Facebook profile has to support that third-party credibility of who you are and what you do. Remember, not the cocktail party. You know, you want to go in there and you want to talk everything we've just talked about, pushing out your information, pushing out other people's information, pushing out humanizing information so that people then can connect with you. And so if you do that piece, there is no noise. On the scroll, like you were talking about, yeah, there's going to be noise. I mean, Facebook is about their business. They're about making money. So they have you down to a T. They have your sex, your gender, where you live, what you buy, what interests you have on Facebook, you know, groups that you're a part of, I mean, they have everything possible. And you can drill down so specifically and put an ad in front of somebody that, yeah, you're going to have to get through that noise. But here's the key. If you create content that people want, people will get it. They'll search for it. They'll say, where is that last piece of content that Lindsay wrote? Where is that last video that she posted? So that part becomes not about cutting out the noise, because you can't. There's no way to do it. Facebook's going to have it. But it's about being so relevant that it doesn't matter what else is in the way, that people want that information.
Yeah. Okay. So essentially what you're saying is, be more, on the one hand, produce that content that's relevant to your audience and build that digital DNA. And on the other hand, be more, be more focused in how you use the social media when you're looking for stuff, rather than just scrolling down the feed.
Yeah. I mean, so just talk about humanizing. Here's a humanizing piece for you. I'm a female. I like to shop. It's not a secret for anybody who knows me personally. It's a thing. But social media has now allowed normal people to become influencers online about clothing, home design, cooking, all these sort of things. And so I follow bloggers both on Instagram and Facebook on outfit selections. That's now how I do my shopping. I don't have time to go to the mall. I don't even really have time to do things online. I'm so busy, but I specifically go to my feed and cut out all the noise. I scroll for them, or I look directly for them to find the latest post of whatever outfits they're posting for the day, of something I might be interested for if I'm looking for an event, or I knew like holiday season. So they all were posting, you know, holiday attire and New Year's attire. And so I knew that all sequin dresses were going to be out and I needed one. So I go specifically to their accounts to go look at whatever the new, you know, latest thing that they posted. So it's finding your people and finding, you know, what it is they want from you. And again, remember I said this earlier, it has nothing to do about you. It's really about them. What do they want from you? And so if you can find out what it is that they want, in my case, it's finding really easy outfits put together already that I can literally just go click, 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 and I have an outfit to my door in 2 days. That I need for an event. That's important to me. If you can find that, find what it is that your clients want from you and just do that, talk about that, then people are going to search you out in their feed. They're not going to scroll and hope that, you know, you catch their eye. They're going to specifically go to you. It's like Tony Robbins. People follow Tony Robbins and follow his social media accounts for his wisdom, for his quotes of the day, for his little pieces and nuggets that he puts out there. People look for that content. Gary Vaynerchuk is another one. He puts out the content that people, they want to see. They feel like if they've missed a day of it, they're missing something in their life. So you've got to be that. You've got to put out that interesting content that people want from you.
Yeah. Yeah. And you touched on a really important point there, and that's knowing your audience and knowing your people, who they are and what they're looking for. So having that connection is really important.
and also having the courage, because you mentioned Gary Vaynerchuk, and he's not everybody's cup of tea, but having the courage to just be yourself and being comfortable with some people aren't going to like you.
And that's why I use Gary, is because he's not everybody's cup of tea, and that's okay.
Yeah.
If you are out there to do business and you think that everybody is going to like you and everybody is going to want to do business with you, that's probably your first mistake. It is okay not to connect with some people. That's why, again, you operate on the mentality of abundance, and that there are clients out there for everybody. And that goes back to talking about you and those affinity points, those human connection pieces, because if you connect with somebody, you may not connect with somebody else, but that's okay. You don't have to reach everybody. You know, it's about helping the people that you can help.
Yeah. Well, that comes back to the old, being number one on Google for vanity's sake, or being number one on Google for a strategic purpose and for what it is. And I always laugh at these. You probably get hundreds of these emails every day too. And I get them, they start off typically something like, oh, we've found your website and it's a really good job and you've got some really interesting stuff there, but we noticed you don't appear number one on
every
Google.
Every day.
And we can help you with that, obviously, is the next line, and somebody I've never heard of. But I always laugh at that because they never say, well, what were you searching for?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's actually one of the things I always talk about. People are like, oh, I rank number one on Google, but I'm not getting any business from it. I'm like, well, have you done the research to find out if people are actually searching for that? Because quite often we find that we've all got jargon in our own business. And so, the things that we think people are searching for, they're not even searching for. But the cool thing is Google tells you. So go use Google's keyword planner, their tool, and go ask Google what people are searching for. Because, yes, that makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, one of the other things you touched on a little bit about video, and what's your view on getting on video and advice to people that perhaps feel a little uncomfortable about video? I mean, you talked a little bit before about it's not about you, and this is usually my response when people say I'm uncomfortable going on video. But what's your take on the importance of going on video and actually showing your face and as part of that whole social media or the whole online presence?
Yeah, video is crucial for your business. And I think that it's only going to get more and more important. It's not going anywhere. Being able to show your face is only going to become more prevalent. They may be holograms and not video, but the being able to see somebody is not going anywhere. It allows you to have, we keep talking about that humanizing piece. And, if somebody can see you and see your mannerisms and the way that you talk and look into their eyes when you speak, you connect differently than you do just reading a text or an email. We do obviously have clients that don't want to get onto video. And so you have to respect that. But I say that if you have, any ability to get on video, just take the first step, because it will allow you to connect with more people than it will if you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great advice. And I always say to people, don't worry about how you look, because it's not about you.
Exactly. And it's not. Yeah. It's about them.
And if you've got something to say, it's really important for you to get it out there to the right audience.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. Well, this has been fantastic, Lindsay. I could go on for ages talking about all things social media and publication and getting found online and so on. But I think it's a good time to move on now to The Buzz, which is our innovation round. And it's designed to help our audience, who are primarily leaders and innovators in their field, with some tips from your experience. So hopefully you'll give us some really short, insightful answers to these questions. Okay. and inspire people to go and do something awesome today.
Sounds good. I'm ready.
Yeah. So what do you think is the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
They need to constantly be learning. And I don't care what industry you're in. If you're stop learning, then you're done with business, because it's always changing and always evolving. So find the thought leaders in your industry that you can tag along with and learn more from them as much as you can.
Yeah. One of the things I love about being in business for yourself, to me, it's probably been the best education I've ever had and continues to be.
Yeah. Best and hardest education you've ever had. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
I would say watching people like Peter Diamandis. He's great and has that abundance mentality. He's got a conference every year, Abundance 360, that talks about things that you would have no idea that are coming. And it's exciting for a number of different reasons. But just being able to be around somebody that has the visions that he does gets you excited about what else you could be doing in your business. I think Dan Sullivan and Strategic Coach has been a wonderful, wonderful tool for myself to be around like-minded individuals. You know, as entrepreneurs, sometimes we can think we're crazy or people around us can think we're crazy. So it's nice to talk and engage with people that understand the crazy in some sense. And, you know, you can learn from just because it doesn't matter what business you're in. Those ideas spawn just being together.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's certainly consistent with your whole human connection philosophy. So yep. Learning from other people. And one of the ways I do that, of course, is through this podcast,
which
is amazing. I get to talk to a lot of amazing people like yourself and bring up new ideas and new thoughts. And I get to share it with my audience, which is
I know,
even
that's
better.
Great. That's awesome.
All right. Now, do you have a favorite resource that you use a lot?
Resource for what?
Anything in business.
My favorite one, it's very, very simple, but it's called followupthen.com. It's how I stay up to date with all my massive amounts of emails. I'm a very task-oriented person, and so I will CC myself, like I'll send an email to my team, or if there's a particular lead that I'm trying to follow up with, I'll just CC a certain time description, so 4 days at followupthen.com or 1 week at followupthen.com or even 5 p.m. at followupthen.com. And it will remind me to follow up with that person at that particular time frame. So I can kind of get it out of my inbox and it'll automatically remind me at the designated time. So I've just gotten a really good habit that as I'm kind of doing stuff to just know that time frame that I automatically want to follow up with that person. And it's got the intelligence to be able to, if the person has responded to you, it'll take it out of the queue for you. But it allows you to just kind of get it off your plate and stop thinking about it until it reminds you that you need to start thinking about it again.
That's great. Now that's an example, I think, of automation that actually helps you be more human, because it, first of all, it does prompt the reminder to make that connection in the follow-up, and it frees up your time to focus on the human connections part. So I really love that. I'll have to check that out. I've been using, I've got a gmailius.com, which is an extension for Gmail that allows me to move things out of the inbox and bring them back in at a later time. But it's not specific to following up with people. And what I particularly like is if they've actually responded, that it automatically takes it off the list.
Yeah, it has changed the way that I do business. I mean, not only from a client perspective and following up with a sales lead, but just following up with my team. If there's something that, you know, we're working on that I need an answer on, and if they haven't responded, you know, it'll pop up and remind me that we need to discuss it. And sometimes it's not even them, you know, we're waiting on something. So it's more of a, you know, have we got a response from this vendor yet? You know, it's those sort of things. And so it allows you to get the clutter out of your brain and focus on, you know, what's present and what you need to do right now, and let that system remind you of the things that are still to come.
All right. Well, great. Thanks for that. Now, what you've touched on this a little bit. What's the best way to keep a project or a client on track?
Should I go back and say followupthen.com?
Yeah.
I'll also say that we use Slack and Asana a lot to just internally keep our stuff on track. Certainly having a web company, we've got clients that have, you know, their own updates and changes and stuff to websites. It's not just ours. So being able to put those tasks into an organization like Slack or Asana, we use both so that our develop team can work on those things. That's crucial to what we do, to make sure that we stay on time and make sure we do things timely and accurately.
So you mentioned Slack. Do you have a distributed team?
Do I have a distributed team? That's a great question. Not for me.
Okay.
I didn't actually actually set it up. I just know I'm part of it.
Yeah. All right. Great. What's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
It goes back to getting know, like, and trust you. We've talked a bunch about it on this podcast, and I think I harp on it a lot because I really do believe it. You know, that is what makes you different from the person down the street is you. I would say the second part to that that we didn't touch on is some sort of credibility factor. You know, today people carry the weight of media logos as huge credibility. And so obviously being able to be say as seen on ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, affiliates, you know, being able to say you were quoted in the Wall Street Journal, the USA Today, all those things carry weight and have great credibility pieces. But I guarantee you, even if you don't have some of that stuff, there's other things that you have in your business that you can use as credibility pieces. So is it, you know, some award that you won in your community? Is it some BBB logo that you can put on that you've gotten? Is there some designation in your particular niche that maybe you think is no real big deal, but does really carry a lot of weight? Think of those things in your business that you can really put out in the forefront and showcase them. That's one of the things I always talk to my clients about is that, you know, they can be very humble in what they've done, but if they're not talking about it, if they're not telling people that they won these awards, that they did these things, that nobody's going to know. And if you do it correctly, you can still be humble and tell people that, you know, you've done all this stuff. And it carries a great weight as far as credibility is concerned when people are looking at your credentials versus somebody else that does the exact same thing as you.
Mm. Yeah, that's great advice. And I think that's probably something that many people struggle with in terms of blowing their own trumpet, we call it here, a little bit without appearing brash or arrogant.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, this has been really great, Lindsay. Thanks a lot for what you've shared with us. Now, where can people reach out and find out more about you and maybe even connect with you on social media and get in touch and say thank you for what you shared?
Yeah, for sure. Very simply, you can go to our website. It's celebritysites.com, celebritysites.com. You're also welcome to email us at info@celebritysites.com. And if you just Google me, Lindsay Dix, you'll also find lots of different ways to connect with me online as far as social media accounts are concerned.
All right. Well, finally, two more questions. What's the number one piece of advice you'd like to leave our listener today in terms of being a leader in their field and in innovation?
If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. That can go for positive and that can go for negative.
Yeah. I love that. That's a great quote. Okay. And finally, who would you like me to chat with on a future Innova Buzz podcast and why?
So I got two for you. One is going to be Rachel Hollis. It's of Girl Wash Your Face and Girl Stop Apologizing. They are the two books that changed my life. Changed my whole philosophy about being a mom and being a businesswoman. She's going to be number one. She's got an awesome podcast as well. And then the other one is going to be, his name is Bill Cates, C-A-T-E-S. He published a book called Radical Relevance. If you haven't read the book, then I highly suggest you go and get it. It pretty much sums up how to do business. But he's a great innovator and can really change some people's businesses.
Well, great. Thanks for that, Lindsay. So we'll reach out to Rachel and to Bill and see if we can get them on for a conversation in a future Innova Buzz podcast episode.
Sounds good.
So thanks again, Lindsay, for sharing your time and your insights with us so generously on the Innova Buzz podcast today. I've really enjoyed this. I've learned a lot about your system for really generating buzz on social media and how you can take one piece of content and turn it into 14 content pieces that if you keep doing that consistently will result in you being an authority in your field and dominating for your particular topic on the search engine. So thanks for sharing that with us, and I wish you all the best for the future, and let's keep in touch.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hope you enjoyed that engaging and informative conversation with Lindsay and took something away from her episode. Lindsay's method for generating a strong online presence by really leveraging the content you publish. For example, her method for turning one article into 14 pieces of evergreen content is a fantastic example of content generation and publication with maximum leverage. I'd love to know what you took away from Lindsay's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/Lindsay Dix. That is LINDSAYDICKS. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/Lindsay Dix. You will also find contact information for getting in touch with Lindsay there, as well as links to the Celebrity Sites website, her social media pages, and the other resources we spoke about in today's conversation. Lindsay suggested that we have a conversation with Rachel Hollis, author of Girl, Stop Apologizing and Girl, Wash Your Face, as well as with Bill Cates, author of Radical Relevance, on a future InnovaBuzz podcast episode. So Rachel and Bill, keep an eye on your inboxes for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Lindsay Dix. Remember to check out our Marketing Master mini class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It's completely free and accessible without even giving away your email. But most importantly, it will enable you in less than 30 minutes to gain absolute clarity about who your ideal client is and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship. And if you'd like our help to go even deeper into marketing mastery, or our help with producing your very own podcast, even launching your very own podcast if you don't yet have one, then send me an email to jurgen@innovabiz.co and we can set up a quick call to have a short conversation and find out whether we're a good fit for one another. Tune in again to the next episodes of the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we've got some more fantastic guests lined up, including Rob Rawson, the CEO and co-founder of Time Doctor, and Mark Helpert, who is a LinkedIn branding expert. Stay connected with us by subscribing to the InnovaBuzz podcast at innovabuzz.com/subscribe. innovabuzz.com/subscribe. Make sure you never miss another episode. It would also mean a lot to me if you leave us a review, because what you think matters. I'd love to hear your thoughts, your ideas, your suggestions, or questions you have, so go ahead and share them in the comments below the blog post for this episode. Until next time, I'm Jurgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.